Hello, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Kash Patel. I give him a hard time about John Durham and Sussman. We talk about why does the FBI share offices with Perkins Coie? What? And then we talk about how Joe Biden is willing to starve kids to destroy women's sports. No exaggeration. It will take your breath away. Email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Text these episodes to your friends. Support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Turning Point USA needs to be your home for starting high school or college chapters all across the country. Email me freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. If you listened live a couple days ago on our radio program, I was pretty upset. I was not having it. We are focused on justice here on this program, amongst other things, truth, beauty, goodness. But, you know, Aristotle said that justice can be messy, but it's necessary. But if you have no justice, then all of a sudden you create a culture of cynicism. And tyrants, they want to try to create an untouchable category where no matter what they do, they can't be held accountable. So with us is somebody that I'm going to be giving a hard time in a good way, but someone that I think is equally upset and someone I have a deep amount of respect for and admiration for, who I think should have been the prosecutor possibly in this case. Kash Patel. Kash, welcome back to the program. So Kash, I got to be honest with you, man. Sussman, we were pretty certain, you were pretty certain that he was going to be convicted by a jury of his peers. And now it just seems like the entire operation has fallen apart. I'm upset. I'm angry. I really don't know how to make sense of this. What's your take?
Yeah, look, Charlie, we traded texts right after the verdict. And and I told you, I think no one was more disappointed than me. And I was kind of the last guy cheering for the chariots of justice that we currently have as a former federal prosecutor. I thought when you put in front of adults, even in Washington, D.C., irrefutable evidence of a crime, that they would rise behind politics. And I was sadly proven wrong, but more tragically, that if these are the adults that are leading our future generation, they've already educated their youth that politics comes before the law. And that's what's going to make justice so much harder. You know, I took the day off because, you know, we had an old adage in government. When you get ticked off, just walk away for 24 hours so you don't do anything stupid. But got to regroup and start the fight again.
Yeah, so where does this stand? Is Durham done? I mean, he's got the Danchenko case. There might be some other. Is his credibility completely ruined? I mean, I'm at a place where if you can't even get Michael Sussman, where you have in the text message the crime, I mean, it's more than just having, you know, circumstantial evidence. This is video equivalent of OJ leaving the scene of the crime, right? It's you have the whole thing. And yet even that was not good enough. What is going on here? I mean, is this the deterioration of the rule of law as we know it? I mean, am I overreacting? I mean, is there now an untouchable class of ruling elites that can just do whatever they want? I mean, they could do arson. They won't go to jail for that. And murder, I don't even know if they get tried for that. What? How am I supposed to make sense of this?
You know, that's the hard part. Even I can't. I don't think you're wrong on a lot of parts. I think you're probably right. And I think you're speaking for an American public that feels the exact same way. They want accountability when the people charged to serve them and their interest under the law violate it. They should be put in prison. They should be convicted of these crimes. It's just really hard to have that. And plus, the mainstream media has, of course, come in over the top and said, you know, John Durham's credibility is shattered. I disagree with that wholeheartedly. As prosecutors, we lose cases. You know, it happens. But that doesn't ruin your career. It doesn't ruin the cases you're bringing or the evidence that you've put out in public like John Durham has. The irrefutable evidence that now we know Hillary Clinton orchestrated this entire thing, but it was proven to the world. Pieces of information like that are now out there for us to digest and put out. And so make sure the historians record it correctly. But you have to have more convictions. You just have to have more indictments. That's the only way you get past this speed bump. Because if in 6-8 months we look back and say John Durham went 6-1, it's pretty good.
So who else then, I mean, is on the list? And we've talked about this before. I mean, I feel a little demoralized. Do you think Durham feels that way? What's your reading on all of that? Are the future cases going to be tried in Washington, D.C.? Does it make a difference if it's Northern Virginia versus D.C.? Walk us through that.
Sure. Well, anywhere but D.C. is great for the reasons you and I all know. You can't have three jurors on your jury pool that donated to Hillary, one to AOC, and then another juror's kid plays, you know, swim pool time with the defendant. Northern Virginia is better. It's substantially better. It's not the greatest spot. But I think John Durham knows that when you bring a conspiracy case like we are as prosecutors, you can land it anywhere the conspiracy occurred. And he's already shown that the FBI agent who testified on the stand said he is currently being investigated for withholding information and lying during the Hillary Clinton investigation. And you have others that he said Rodney Jaffe is a target of my criminal conspiracy investigation. And so you don't say things like that as a prosecutor to muddy the waters, especially Don Durham. Yeah. I don't even know what that guy's politics are. And I've known that guy for a while.
Let me ask you this. How critical was the Sussman conviction to the rest of the conspiracy? Because how can you prove a conspiracy if you can't even get the bag man indicted?
It's an important stepping stone. I think it was far more important for messaging, far more important for Americans and the world who have not paid attention to Russiagate to allow the course correction that needed to occur. Now, of course, credible media is reporting on both sides of it. But the problem going forward is, like you said, the headlines are John Durham loses credibility. John Durham, you know, is a terrible prosecutor. I didn't hear the media saying that when he took down the rendition program at the CIA and prosecuted everybody who broke the law there. You know, that's the guy that's in charge of these cases. You're going to lose one. And when it's this high profile and you take it into the heart of the lines, then it's a tough road to hoe. He's got to reestablish some credibility. And the only way you do that is by bringing more indictments. Otherwise, he should just hang it all up.
Winning, right?
And winning, you know, like Trump says, you got to win.
He's got Danchenko. Yeah, so Danchenko's winnable. I mean, you would imagine. So I suppose then the other question is, does this defeat for Durham, does that change potential plea deals? Does this now empower potential people that are indicted that you could fight it to the bitter end? You know, don't try to do a plea deal. Does that change the calculation at all from Durham's perspective? I mean, I'm trying to find some sort of hope here, right? But I also want to be realistic. How much does that change the calculus? I mean, I suppose emotion aside, of which is very difficult for me, I try to be a very rational person, but when it comes to this particular issue, Russiagate, I get hyper emotional because this pack of criminals have been so above the law for so long and they did such damage to our republic and they're so arrogant and they're so snobbish and they're so self-righteous and they are just so incredibly immoral and they just do it brazenly and openly. But how bad actually is this if we're able to now start that we being justice seekers, okay, get win and a couple wins there? Or just realistically, do you say, man, Charlie, this defeat is gonna make it problematic and put it all in jeopardy?
Well, look, this defeat shows you how hard it is to bring a case in D.C. So hopefully John Durham uses the jurisdiction authorities we have as prosecutors to bring cases outside of D.C. for starters, because if a defendant is charged in D.C., he's going to take this case and say, we can argue jury nullification across the board and win, because D.C. is never going to convict one of ours being Clinton World, Clinton Crime Syndicate. But I don't think it distracts from cases that are brought outside of D.C., because even the best defense attorney behind closed doors will tell you if the evidence is damning and the case is not before a D.C. jury, you know, you achieve a 98% conviction rate in federal criminal trials. That's hard to beat.
Yeah, it's amazing how disconnected D.C. is from the rest of the country. I have a technical question here. We only have a minute and a half remaining, Cash. Why didn't Durham object to the three Clinton donors and the AOC donor on the jury?
He did object to it. The judge, of course, overruled him. That's the problem. You only get a certain number of strikes where you can just go before a jury and say, you've got like six strikes aside. We call them peremptory strikes. You could strike jurors for any reason, right? He ran out of those strikes or for whatever reason chose not to do them, but he challenged the judge on it. And the judge, who is, you know, married to Lisa Page's attorney, overruled it. Now, the kicker, this judge should be held accountable. You brought up the text message, right? This judge precluded the jury from looking at Michael Sussman's text message. He only allowed them to look at my transcript when Michael Sussman lied under oath from 4 years ago, but he would not let them use the text message.
Wait, hold on. I didn't know that. Why?
The judge's basis was the information came after the indictment, so he didn't want the jury to see it, which is completely bogus, and people don't know that, so they weren't able to see the complete contradiction.
Okay, I get it now. Okay, so now that we have video footage of somebody murdering somebody, but we happen to get it after they were originally arrested because of DNA evidence, we're not allowed to show it. That is insane.
Yeah,
I didn't know that. Okay, I have less faith now in our country. Thank you for that. You might be eating healthy, nutritious foods, but if you have any mild digestion issues, you could benefit from a high-quality enzyme. I take digestive enzymes, and you should too. If you've never tried enzymes or even have tried to take one and they haven't worked, I want to give you this chance. As you know, I'm a huge fan of the company Bioptimizers. They're a supplement company where the products actually work. I love their products. I asked them if we could organize a great deal for all my listeners, and they over-delivered. I'm blown away. Right now, you can get a bottle of Mass Zymes for free. All you need to do is pay a small shipping fee, and there's no catch at all. Look, there's no tricks, no forced continuity, and nothing to cancel. They're so confident in their products, they offer a 365-day money-back guarantee, so I'm positive you'll be satisfied with the results. Mass Zymes is a 17-enzyme full-spectrum formula with 5 different types of proteins. Plus, it contains all the key enzymes needed for optimal digestion. It contains AstraZyme, which is a proprietary all-natural plant-derived compound extracted from Panax ginseng and astragalus that boosts amino acid absorption by 30 to 60%. MassZymes ensures that all the protein you consume breaks down into absorbable amino acids. So many people suffer from digestive issues because any protein your body doesn't break down creates digestive distress, gas, bloating, and constipation. MassZymes ensures that all the protein you consume breaks down into absorbable amino acids. So I strongly suggest you head on over to the site to grab your bottle right now before they either run out or take down this offer. Go to masszymes.com/kirkfree. That's masszymes.com/kirkfree, all one word. You'll automatically get access to your unique coupon code to claim your free offer. Limit one per household. Offer is valid while supplies last. You're going to love their products. Go right now. So, Cash, I mean, I'm just at a loss for words. Can you build this out a little more? You're trying to tell me that evidence that was not disclosed before the indictment was not allowed to be used? I can't even begin to fathom this.
Yeah, look, it's up to the judge's discretion, but you know, you can only surmise the reason he didn't allow it was because it made the client, the defendant, 100% guilty before the eyes of the jury. But here's the other thing. This jury deliberated for less than 30 minutes, which means they ordered breakfast and issued a verdict. So you could have shown them the video. They were going to acquit this guy no matter what.
That's just unbelievable. I mean, yeah. So is this normal, though? In most cases, would they not allow evidence that is then revealed post indictment? I mean, by what standard is this judge living off of?
Yeah, I mean, look, that's why the rules of evidence give judges a lot of discretion for evidence like this. And usually it's going to come in, but for whatever reason it didn't. And this judge, I believe, you know, broke the rules of evidence, though he won't say that. And I haven't seen it happen often, especially from a prosecutorial standpoint. Evidence usually brought when I was a public defender that I wanted suppressed or withheld was always allowed to come in, but that's a different matter.
Yeah, I wonder why. Yeah, okay. So I want to ask you about this story. I just can't believe this. So Sussman's Democrat Party-aligned law firm, Perkins Coie, is sharing a workspace with the FBI? What is going on here?
Not only that, but look, as a guy who worked with the FBI, intel community, high-level positions, I had every credential badge, you know, placard to get into secure spaces. These things exist so that anyone can't just walk in there, especially partisan hacks. It's reported that Michael Sussman had a badge to walk into FBI HQ whenever he wanted, while he was an operative for the Clinton campaign. And on top of that, as if that wasn't enough, they built vaults the FBI permitted the Clinton campaign to have secure space in FBI areas. That cost millions of dollars, but let's put the money aside because this government doesn't care about cost. They literally put Camp Clinton in FBI HQ. I don't understand. There's no logical reason for that. None. Zero.
Wait, whatsoever. Hold on. Yeah. Why are we just learning this now?
I'm with you. I just learned it like last night. And I'm like, wait, what? Are we getting punked? And then Gates and company on the Hill were sound enough to ask Christopher Wray why this guy had a badge and what kind of access they had. And of course, Christopher Wray refused to answer any of these questions because he knows he can get away with it. This is the same director that has allowed this FBI to be, driven into the ground when it comes to credibility for reasons like this.
I mean, so this is unbelievable. You're trying to tell me that campaign operatives are walking around with badges, be like, hey, I'm just going to stop by the fourth floor of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, kind of see how they're doing right now. Are civilians allowed access into the J. Edgar Hoover building?
Not unless you go in with an entourage and a guest pass and a whole background check. I mean, I had badges and they still wouldn't let me into the FBI building at times. I'm serious. They'd be like, wait a second, this is the wrong one. And I'd rather have that happen and me not get in than this lunatic get in on behalf of a political campaign. There needs to be an actual investigation on that. That is, to me as a prosecutor, it's beyond insane. It's the thing that's incensed me most about this entire.
I mean, but it's also this kind of collusion and this that we've been warning about, right? That there is this fusion between Washington, D.C. and all the government apparatus and then political parties. Is that there's almost no difference now between running a Democrat presidential campaign and running the FBI.
Yeah. And look, Christopher Wray has been at the helm since James Comey got fired, and he hasn't helped us move one foot of information out the door that would unearth these things, because he should have given this to Congress and the American people a year ago, 4 years ago, when he knew it. And you know, we'll wait for his explanation if we ever get one, but I hope Matt Gaetz and Jim Jordan keep pounding because we need to figure this out.
What could the possible explanation for this be, though? I mean,
none.
What could the excuse be that, I don't know, we have a working partnership under privilege with Perkins Coie, which is an incredibly corrupt law firm. I mean, and this is, I mean, if you do not have trust in your government, good. And you look at examples like this, where the National Police Force, which is the Federal Bureau of Investigation, has shared working spaces with private civilian lawyers and law firms. I mean, this is, it's so grotesque. And like, oh yeah, who wants a badge? Like Michael Sussman, sure. I mean, Cash, we got to move on to some other stuff really quick. I just want to give you an opportunity to talk about Google and your children's book.
Talking about Russiagate for children, making a fun setting in medieval times. And basically, Google came in yesterday and said, your book's doing too well. Literally, we are suspending all ad activity, not just for your book, but for the entire Brave Books community of children's book. And then Amazon, if that were enough, said, you're getting too many positive reviews. They literally sent us a message saying, we're shutting down all the positive reviews. So hopefully your audience can go out to theplotagainstheking.com and help us put this thing in schools everywhere. We know it's the truth because Google and Amazon are shutting us down.
Theplotagainsttheking.com. That's I'm looking at it right now. You guys can check it out. Theplotagainsttheking.com by Cash Patel. Cash, thank you for joining us. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks. Have a great one.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. With the left in a total panic over Twitter and DHS essentially creating their own ministry of truth, it is safe to say we're facing the biggest threat to the First Amendment in our lifetime. That's why I'm proud to support Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative cell phone provider. They offer broad nationwide coverage so you get the same great service without funding the major carriers who donate to the left. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget, and their U.S.-based customer support team provides exceptional customer service. Most importantly, Patriot Mobile shares your values and supports organizations fighting for religious liberty, the rights given to you by God and protected in the Constitution and the sanctity of life. So make the switch right now today. I've made the switch. Our team has made the switch. Do it right now. Go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation with the offer code CHARLIE. They also have special discounts for our veteran and first responder heroes. patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. That's patriotmobile.com/Charlie. patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT, patriotmobile.com/Charlie.
Okay, there's several stories that I kind of want to bounce around and talk about here, but this one in particular is just unbelievable. It's breaking. So we know that the left resorts to force,
rather than persuasion or dialogue. That the left, one of the chief characteristics of the left is that they are going to use power to make you to succumb to their will. This is, we talked about this at great length yesterday about the false promise of neoliberalism and kind of how this Pride Month, the prism of which Pride Month needs to be viewed from. We talked about that, and it's actually that episode is doing very well on the Charlie Kirk Show podcast page. I encourage you guys to check it out. But as we kind of know that, there is still shocking and stunning stories where you just, you sit back, you say, wow, they really want you to succumb to their agenda. So the Biden administration, breaking today, is now going to tie funding for school lunches to whether or not schools comply to radical transgender mandates. The Joe Biden administration has moved forward with a new interpretation of Title IX and anti-discrimination laws that could potentially strip federal funding for school lunches from schools that do not let transgender kids use their preferred bathrooms or play on preferred sports teams. The U.S. Department of Agriculture announced last month it will interpret federal anti-discrimination law to, quote, include discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity. Its decision is based on an executive order Biden signed after assuming office in January of 2021, as well as the Supreme Court decision in Bostick versus Clayton County, which found Title VII protections against sex discrimination extend to discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity. So basically, the Biden administration is willing to starve children to try to get schools to succumb to the transgender agenda. They are willing to withhold funding for school lunches so that kids can eat at schools if they do not allow men to compete in female sports, allow men to go into female locker rooms. No longer are they interested in trying to convince you that this is the right story. No longer are they trying to convince the right way of going about things. No longer are they trying to say, hey, we have a good idea. Don't you think you should do this? They are going to use full-throated force. They want you to succumb to their radical sexualization of America agenda for 5-, 6-, and 7-year-olds. And if you do not agree, they're willing to starve your kids to do it. Literally. They're going to say that schools no longer get funding for school lunches, of all things, that your children will not eat at school, potentially, if you do not allow chemical castration and these other things to happen at your schools. For Republicans out there that still think we're living in the 1980s, I hope this is a wake-up call for you. That the left means business. Now, they're no longer trying to put forward a good argument or debate or to have back and forth or dialogue. All they know how to use is force. And so for a school out there that might be reliant on federal funding, they're going to have no choice but to bend the knee. Like, all right, fine, we'll allow female sports to be obliterated. This is how much, by the way, Biden cares about this. So Governor Kristi Noem has come out, and she has said the following, that the Biden administration will hold school lunch money hostage and vowed to take legal action. You know what? I love that. But who cares about legal action? Just tell the federal government, like, all right, then you're not allowed in the state of South Dakota. We're kicking you out. We'll figure out how to fund our own school lunches. I'm telling you, there is a collision point happening, and we go to the courts and we do all this while they just jam the stuff down our throat. Is your governor, Governor Burnham, just going to be like, yeah, we're going to take legal action against this? Why are you reliant on federal funding? Do it yourself. Become self-governed. The more federal government money you take, you subsidize the transgender agenda in your state. I'm telling you, there is a collision happening between the states and the federal government, and it's unfolding in front of our very eyes. Spokesperson for Ron DeSantis said it is appalling that the Biden administration is threatening to withhold food from disadvantaged children in order to advance a deranged political agenda that Floridians have rejected. Sadly, this would not be the first time Biden has pursued petty political scores, settling to the detriment of the America's well-being. Joe Biden is willing to starve children to make sure that men can go in women's locker rooms. That's the lengths they're willing to see things through. So it's time for the states to push back. Instead of pursuing legal action, what's the longer term solution here? Come up with a way to fund your own school lunches without the federal government. Cut them off. Whatever that number is, use local pantries, charities. If you have to you have to raise revenues in other ways, hopefully not raise taxes, reallocate funding, figure it out. Ron DeSantis, a spokesperson, says the federal government has no authority to follow through on these threats. Well, they kind of do, actually. Now, maybe a court might disagree. It might be an overreach. But as if you are taking money from the federal government, you have to take their agenda alongside of it. Just ask any federal college or high school right now. Federal colleges, almost every college except Hillsdale receives federal money or federal subsidized student loans. And they have to abide by Title IX and all these other nonsensical measures. They are willing to force you to do this. Meanwhile, in Illinois ends its parental notification requirement for minors getting abortions. J.B. Pritzker, who, if there was actually men that could become pregnant, you would might mistake J.B. Pritzker as being one of those people. I couldn't help myself. If you look at him, you say, that took a lot of effort. Born on third, thought he had a triple, trust fund baby of the Hyatt Hotel fortune. The number one reason why Turning Point USA tries to never do an event at Hyatt is because of J.B. Pritzker. He's a venomous character. He's destroyed my home, and I'm not happy about it. He amongst Mike Madigan and Lori Lightfoot and the clown car of Democrats that run Illinois. So J.B. Pritzker is now saying that you no longer, if you're a minor, if you're 15, you can get an abortion without telling your parents. In New York City, they're running ads right now empowering heroin users. This is the ad that is being run. Do not be ashamed you're using heroin. Instead, be empowered that you are using safely. Find out what fentanyl is and why is it dangerous and how to use the proper microdoses of heroin. And finally, Biden puts men in women's prisons and Christians out of law enforcement, thefederalist.com. Happening very quietly, men are now infiltrating women's prisons. As Americans are threatened by rising crime, the Biden administration is focused on putting men's and women's prisons and pushing Christians and political dissenters from transgender ideology out of law enforcement. This is by Nathaniel Blake. President Biden has released his long-delayed executive order on law enforcement, and it does not include the bombshell proposal to put men and women in prisons that I reported on back in January. Unfortunately, this is cut not because the Biden administration thought better of the idea, because it already rewrote the Bureau of Prisons manual to allow men in women's prisons. You got to wonder, why are they so fixated on the transgender issue? I have my theories why they're so focused on it. Why are they so focused on putting this into schools and pushing forward this kind of chemical castration agenda? Cut 35, parents claim their child came to them out at them as trans at age 2, and they now raise their young daughter as a boy. You got to wonder how many parents are abusing their children by doing this. It is child abuse. It's child abuse. Play cut 35.
On the 6th of March, we welcomed our beautiful twins into the world. A boy called Arlo and a girl called Emerald.
The first one they said was, "This is a girl." I can't even remember your face just like lighting up, like, "This mm-hmm. is amazing." And then the next one was on, "This is a boy." It was like, jackpot. You know, one of each. This is the perfect combination here.
Yeah! Look at Daddy flipping! So now they're 4 years old and they identify as two boys. The first time that I realised Stormy wanted to identify as male was about roughly 2.5. But it's not really, he said, "I want to be a boy." He said, "I am a boy." And that is the difference.
It's just hard to listen to. And it's now not just and this is, again, I don't overly promote singular episodes that we did. I got a message from actually one of my friends here. They said, "Your Pride Month podcast is rock solid. Great work." We put a lot of work into that. We did that collaboratively, Connor, Andrew, and I. And it really is kind of a broader picture of the philosophical decline and trajectory of neoliberalism. And I understand some of our listeners, they have a gut instinct to want to say, "Oh, why does it matter if a person thinks they're a man or a woman?" None of it, actually, none of this is about that. It never has been about that. It's about force. It's about using political power as a revenge tool to make people conform to your very, very particular fringe ideology. If it was just about men who think they are women, why would Joe Biden have to put and hold hostage federal taxpayer money for school lunches?
if it was all just about identification, then it would be kind of that live and let live rule that we thought we lived under, when in reality, it's live and let them rule. And I don't think we should put up with that. I think a lesson from the school lunch story, which, by the way, is going to heat up. This is going to be a big story. And I think it's going to take Joe Biden by surprise. I think Jean-Pierre, the not very smart person who is now the press secretary, I think she's going to get asked a question on this. It's like, well, of course we're going to withhold school lunch money. Of course we will. I don't know if that dog is not going to hunt with swing voters. I'm going to be very honest. I think this school lunch story is going to heat up in the coming days and weeks. I do. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. I want to tell you about Good Ranchers. Look, Father's Day is coming up, and I know a lot of dads out there would love nothing more than a box of meat. Summer grilling season, barbecues, grill outs, big summer holidays are on the horizon. And I know a lot of people are saying, what do I get Dad for Father's Day? The best thing to get him on Father's Day is something from GoodRanchers.com. Food shortages are on the rise, and I want to tell you about this limited time deal. Don't miss out on your free 18-ounce ribeye, because they won't be here for long. These steaks are truly amazing, and you'll love them. Good Ranchers is giving away 2 free 18-ounce prime center-cut ribeyes. They are USDA prime, 100% American steakhouse quality cuts of beef. Other places will charge you over $50 a steak for ribeyes like these, but today you can get two of them for free at GoodRanchers.com with promo code Kirk. That's GoodRanchers.com, promo code Kirk. Good Ranchers quality is amazing, everybody. Ribeyes, T-bones, chicken, salmon, and more. It is a great thing to give your father for Father's Day. With uncertainty in supply chains and what the grocery stores will have available, Good Ranchers is a reliable place to get your essentials. They send you a box of meat. So they basically send you a box of happiness. Enough of this vegan fake meat stuff. It's all a scam. It's a con. It's creating all sorts of weird things in our society. Get back to red meat. Get back to real things that matter. Having Good Ranchers in your home supports the Charlie Kirk Show, supports American ranchers, and feeds your family. So go to GoodRanchers.com and use promo code Kirk, and it will give you 2 free 18-ounce prime setter cup ribeyes. GoodRanchers.com/Kirk. And again, American meat delivered. Say that again. Write it down and remember it. American meat delivered. Again, the 2 ribeye steaks, over $100 value. I want to tell you, I love meat. You should too. Even if you don't like meat, tell the person who does to check out GoodRanchers.com. A box of beautiful meat and 2 free ribeyes can be yours right now. Check it out. GoodRanchers.com, promo code Kirk. Don't quite understand this tape. We're going to listen to it all for the first time together. Jenner went on television and complimented Thomas. And by the way, someone said I gendered Thomas yesterday. We got like 4 or 5 emails said that you called gender Thomas a woman. It's just not true. I never said that. So I don't know what people are talking about. Jenner complimented Thomas on a very good response on critics accusing of unfairness. Play cut 30.
Well, honestly, I thought she did a very good job. And this is not Leah Thomas's fault. She played by the rules and did a good job and played by the rules. Really, my concerns are with the NCAA. Their rules have to be a lot more stringent.
I totally disagree. It's all of their fault. When you have an injustice that is done, it's not just the people that allow the injustice to occur. That can be the emphasis of your focus. But make no mistake, Thomas knows exactly what he's doing. Knows exactly. And that's right, I said he, for those of you keeping score at home. Knows exactly what's going on. Thomas is a narcissist. Thomas is a cheat. Thomas was not able to succeed against other men. Thomas was a very average swimmer and then becomes the best at what Thomas does. Imagine how sick of a person you must be. So truly, to be like, you know, I can't compete against men, but now I want to go dominate against women. Just imagine that. And we're like, oh, well, I don't blame that person. You should blame that person. Of course you should. It's like saying, well, I don't blame the 18-year-old that wants to go play against 9-year-olds. I totally disagree with Jenner on that. Now, I agree when Jenner is attacking the NCAA, but all of a sudden kind of giving this kind of get-out-of-jail-free card, like, well, we don't want to attack the person who's actually compromising the rules themselves. Like, no, they both are to blame. Thomas knows exactly what's going on. I'll prove it to you. If it wasn't about winning championships, if it wasn't about all that, why wouldn't Thomas continue to compete against other men? If it was just about being happy and being gender identified, which of which you can be a male swimmer and identify as whatever you want, why didn't Thomas continue to compete against men? Oh, because Thomas didn't get attention when Thomas was competing against men. Because Thomas was a really bad male swimmer, very average. No, it's all about Thomas being the center of attention, the really low decibel voice, by the way. And look, it's very important. We're allowing a social contagion to take root. Bill Maher, who is a liberal, by the way, is identifying this rather well. Play cut 77.
We can't admit that in certain enclaves, there is some level of trendiness to the idea of being anything other than straight. Then this is not a serious science-based discussion. It's a blow being struck in the culture wars using children as cannon fodder.
There is a trendiness that is alongside of it. And I bet Bill Maher actually has deeper feelings than what he's articulating there. I think Bill has to kind of walk a little bit of a tightrope right there. Thomas was asked, did you transition to win more medals? And Thomas said no. And if that's the case, the follow-up question is, well, why didn't you keep on competing against men? You could have just said you were a woman. No, because it was about that. Play cut 25.
Transitioning to get an advantage is not something that ever factors into our decisions.
You didn't transition to win more medals.
No.
Again, a transition is a term I can't stand. You don't get to dictate your reality because you wish it to be so. You don't get to wish different chromosomes on. And it's a preference on the feeling and the emotion more than admitting that we must be tied to these pesky shackles of reality. You know, this has mass civilizational implications. And I understand that a lot of you listening and a lot of you kind of walking through this with me, you're scared and afraid to weigh in on it. And play this out. You think this is going to get better in the next 5 years? Think female sports is going to continue to thrive? Joe Biden is willing to starve children to destroy female sports. That is the latest announcement. Joe Biden is willing to withhold and hold hostage federal school lunch assistance money to try to get his way when it comes to this issue. Boy, does the left is focused on this issue right now. You have to wonder why. I have my own theories. I'm not going to go into that right now, actually. I think part of it is what they're trying to do with robots and machines. I've talked about that openly, transhumanism, but we'll have to dive into that at a different time. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts. As always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.